This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of December of the year 2020, and it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024, and the subject scripture for this lesson is taken from the book of Isaiah chapter 29 verse number 13. And just for your information, I'm reading it out of the New International Version, or the NIV version of the Bible. And if you have the scriptures available, you'll find these words recorded. It says, "The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught." The title of the message, Sin is Not Sin. All right, the message for this month has to do with a common misconception that is carried by not only the world, but many Christians as well. This misconception, which is at the heart of most of our problems in this nation, centers on the mistaken idea that in the eyes of God, all sins are going to lead the offenders into hell. This means then that if you say, for instance, steal something and another person murders someone, both of you have sinned and will suffer the same eternal punishment, hell. This part of the story is true. The Bible makes it clear in many scriptures that sin, no matter how great or how small, is something that will put you on the wrong side of God's grace and mercy, and when the time comes, if you have not repented, you are bound for hell. Now, at this point, you might be saying, preacher, if that is the case, then why did you entitle the message the way that you did? Was it a misprint? The answer is no. You see, in the overall scheme of things, we have two different areas that need to be considered. The first, quite naturally, is the eternal or the spiritual nature. It is the area in which you will find God saying that whosoever is guilty of one sin is guilty of all. That's found in James chapter 2, verse number 10. Now, we also have scriptures like Revelation 21 and 8, which basically outlines every type of sin that there is, being the reason that those that are guilty of them will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is no getting around it. If you leave this life and you are not saved, it does not matter how good of a person you are or were. You will end up in the same place as the worst of the worst that the devil has to offer. But the area where there is a big misconception is in the area of this physical realm. It is in this area that God wants us to take a look at. The reason being that if you don't have a good understanding of this area, then chances are you are going to stay on a path that will lead you to put you at odds with God, and that means eternal damnation will be in jeopardy. Now, over the past several months, I have been inundated by people, mostly Christian brothers and sisters, and mostly sisters, when I give reasons why in this past elections I support Republican candidates over Democratic candidates for president. They tell me that both are equally evil, or sin is sin. So they choose to support the one that they feel more comfortable with. Here is where the problem lies with that train of thought. To them, it is about personality. How well one person is liked over another. It is about the promises that one candidate makes versus the other. As long as the person says the right things, they will tend to support them. It doesn't matter if, after they get elected, that they get a case of amnesia and don't follow through on those promises, because no one is perfect. So they lied. Big deal. The other candidate is just as guilty of something. Sin is sin, they say. What we have here is a situation that overlooks a key part of God's view of sin as it pertains to this physical life, and that is where we are walking on dangerous ground. You see, even though sin is sin in this life, there is the fact that God reacts differently to it based on the seriousness of it. If you go into the Bible, to the books of the law, you will find how that God set up different degrees of punishment based on the gravity of the offense. There are certain sins that God says the person is guilty of should be separated from the camp for a few days. There are others that says that warrants that the person be beaten with lashes, while others are to be imprisoned. Then we have the more serious ones where the person is to be put to death. This is all part of His design for how we are to conduct our lives or conduct ourselves in this life. We can look at the modern day justice system in this nation. It is modeled after those same guidelines. If you have a person that steals a loaf of bread because they are hungry, they have committed the crime or sin of stealing. If you have another person that murders someone, they have committed the crime or sin of murder. Now, if, as a lot of these people believe, sin is sin, then both of them deserve the same punishment. That means the one that stole the loaf of bread should be put to death, or the one that murdered someone should get the same punishment as the one that stole the loaf of bread. Do you see how ludicrous that is? Well, that is exactly what those that talk about sin is sin are saying. As a result, it doesn't matter what a candidate says or does, as long as the people like the person based on what he or she says they will do, that is all that matters. Oh, really? What about what God says about what they are guilty of? Are you going to ignore Him? If you take that position on sins being the same, then that is exactly what you are doing. And guess what? By your ignoring what He has to say about it, you yourself have just sinned by placing your viewpoint above what He says. And that, my friends, is idolatry. Anytime you place what anyone says ahead of what God says, this is what you are guilty of. If you look at the subject verse taken from the NIV Bible, it gives a clearer interpretation of what the King James Version says. In this verse, the Lord is saying that many of His people are going around talking about how much they love the Lord and how He is able to do anything but fail, and all of the other things that give the impression that they are truly faithful to God. But strip away that facade and look at their heart, and you will see that there is a gross lack of depth and understanding of Him that will lead them to disaster. And how did they get like this? By listening to people, usually preachers, who either don't know Him or did at one time, but have left Him in pursuit of fame and fortune. Fame and fortune. If a person is not being led by God, then they are usually left to their own way of thinking, which is known as carnal mindedness or common sense. So what God is saying is they are really worshiping Him based on the standards that man has set. This translates to the idea that they are making Him to be like us or be like man. And we all know how man is, don't we? He will say one thing one minute and the next say or do the opposite. He changes like the weather and the seasons. Can't be trusted for anything. And here you are putting God in that same boat. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, starting at verse number 21, says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man. And we can see this being manifested every time you look around and hear people choosing to support a political party whose foundation is based on open warfare with God versus a political party whose only sin or crime is making a lot of people angry because they won't go along with what the people believe. When I look at the likes of President Trump, it is true he is divisive. And to a lot of people, including a lot of black Christians, he is no better than the Democrat running against him. This is where the sin is sin crowd thinks they have a good point. However, if you look at just what Trump is doing and why versus what the Democrats are doing, then you have the scenario of the stolen bread and the murderer. In what the Holy Spirit has shown me, the path that the Democrats and their supporters are on will lead this nation to destruction. President Trump is doing all that he can to prevent that from happening, and what is the result? They call him divisive. I tell a lot of people that if anything, President Trump, the GOP, and their supporters are guilty of misdemeanors, while the Democrats are guilty of felonies. And which is the most serious? Felonies are, of course. When you have a party that openly advertises its position on abortion or human life, the gay lifestyle, affirmative action, and keeping in any influence of God out of the running of the government of this nation, that is open warfare against God and Christ. And as if that isn't bad enough, we have most black Christians that buy into this foolishness. I should have said black preachers, because they're the ones that's leading these black Christians into this foolishness. I call them traitors to Christ. And what usually happens to traitors? They are usually put to death, or at least imprisoned. Now, as I have mentioned, in most instances, these Democrats and their supporters are under the mistaken belief that they aren't doing anything worse than what the other side is doing. After all, sin is sin. Now, the only reason they think like this is because some preachers, mostly black, have allowed them to come into their churches and ask their congregations to vote for them. In their eyes, the politicians, what they stand for is acceptable to God. The same goes for their congregations. In other words, if a politician comes into a church supporting abortion, gay rights, and so forth, and wants to talk to the congregation about having them vote for him or her, if the preacher lets them in the pulpit to ask the congregation for voting for them, then the people and the politician think that God has no problem with the abortion or gay rights issue. So that means then that they think they have God's support in all of those areas. Now, so with that being, back to the message, so with that being the case, if this president, the GOP, and their supporters oppose them, then that means they are opposing God. If the preacher doesn't sound the alarm, then the politician, his party, and the preacher's congregation will go out and wage war on all those that oppose them, because they think God is on their side when he is really against them. If anyone remembers the life of Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, you will remember how he, through ignorance, was out persecuting Christians because he thought they were a cult. He was highly educated and a worshiper of God, but he was going according to the law of the Old Testament. And here comes this new group of people essentially rewriting the rules that he had lived by and been educated by, and he wanted to destroy them. But then he met Jesus, and the experience changed him totally, where he became the primary vessel used by God to preach to the Gentiles. Well, just like Paul, many of our preachers in the black community today are out doing the same things as he did when it comes to what they think versus what Christ says. They get out here and start persecuting those of us that know what is right and wrong in the eyes of God. The result is the division you see playing out in this nation. One side claiming that they are doing what they feel God approves of, and the other side knowing what God says is resisting them. As God says in the subject scripture, the people's heart is far from him. As the Bible makes clear, God looks at the actions of an individual when it comes to judging that person's love for him. People may get angry and spout off something that they don't really mean. However, when people begin to put actions behind their declarations, then that is coming from the heart. Which side are you on? What do you believe and why? Are you on the side of those that claim to be worshiping God, but whose actions prove anything but? Or are you on the side of those who, no matter what public opinion might be, choose to stand up for righteousness? We know what the end result will be and are willing to die for it if necessary. That is the depth of our love and worship of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, that's the end of this message, and I hope that you have gotten something from it. And what I hope you've gotten from it is the fact that there is a clear distinction in sins and how God looks at sin, especially when it comes to this life. Because what we do in this life will basically put us in line for either eternity with Him or eternity in hell. And like I said, you know, the whole idea is we have to, like Jesus Christ said, be perfect as far as God is concerned and be righteous. That means without sin. And the only way to be without sin is if you're repenting. But see, if you believe that what you're doing is something that God goes along with, then naturally, why would you repent for something if you believe that God has no problem with it? Which then means you're going to go through life continuing to support things that basically are nailing you, your future, and binding you over to heading for hell. And you're thinking that you're going to just get into heaven because you haven't repented of any of these things. And that's where too many of our people that we think are in heaven are actually in hell. And most of the people that are walking around today claiming that they're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues and all that other stuff, are going to find themselves probably there as well because of unrepentant sin, because the preacher allowed somebody to get in the pulpit and talk, address their congregations that by right they should not have let into the pulpit, because that gave the politician and the congregation the wrong message. It sent the wrong message to them, saying, well, since the man of God allowed this, then God must approve of it, which He does not. And so that's a lot to be digesting, but it's just another part of growing into the in the Word of God. Anyway, in closing, let me say this. If since this was published in December of the year 2020, if you're reading it around this time, I made a note here about here's hoping that you and yours have a very Merry Christmas and a blessed and prosperous New Year. Is what I would wish for you if you're reading it, you know, sometime near the end of the year. But otherwise, other than that, let me just end by saying that until we get together again, this is Evangelist George McTyre saying may God bless you and your families real good until we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.